We read from John chapter 20. Jesus had been crucified on the cross. Back in that day when somebody died, the custom was that a family member or a friend would close their eyes, kiss them on the cheek, and bury them. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took on this duty for Jesus. They went to Pilate, Joseph did, and begged the body. They took it down from the cross. They washed the dirt and the blood from it and put some spices on it. I've always wondered if the men put all the spices on and the ladies just came back later because they thought the men didn't do it good enough, or if they, in their haste, because the next day was the Sabbath day, I believe a high Sabbath day, the start of the Passover, but in their haste, maybe they didn't get it done completely, and maybe the ladies saw that, and so they were coming back to finish the job that the men started. But they would put spices on the body, and then they would wrap the body in clean white linen. First one leg, then the legs together, then around the torso, then the arms folded across the chest, and then a linen napkin placed around the head. These two men took one last loving look at one they considered their Lord and their master, and they left the tomb and rolled the great stone in front of it. 3 days and three nights went by. Now, again, I know some of you have asked me why we don't have a Good Friday service, and if you've asked, I've told you I don't believe in Good Friday. I believe in Good Wednesday, because I believe, just like I believe Jonah spent three whole days and three whole nights in the belly of the whale, I believe Jesus spent three whole days and three whole nights in the belly of the earth. And so early Sunday morning, ladies went to this tomb. And early Sunday morning, this tomb became unique in all of history. Say, well, now, preacher, how can you say that? Because Lazarus went into the tomb and Jesus called him out. Yeah, but Lazarus died again. And what was going to happen on this Sunday morning was never going to happen again, had never happened before. We sing a song at Easter time that describes it. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. And then that chorus that we sing rejoicing, we sing triumphantly, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. I direct your attention this morning to one verse, verse number 7, where the Bible says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. The title of my sermon this morning is The Napkin is Still Folded. I believe everything in the Bible is important. I believe in the King James Bible, I believe that every word was inspired in the original and preserved by God. I believe every phrase, every sentence, every verse, every jot and tittle, as the Bible says, is there for a purpose. I believe that verse 7 is there on purpose. I believe God had, and the Holy Spirit had John included in his gospel for a very important reason. I think to understand that reason, you have to understand another custom that was true back in this day. It had to do with servants and their masters. When a servant prepared food for their master, they set the table and they put the food on the table, and then they would step out of the room. They would not, they would keep their eye on the master. If he wanted anything else, he would ask them to come, and they would come and meet that need. But if he didn't call for them, they would stay out of the room and stay away from their master as they ate. When the master got done eating, they would take the napkin, and if they sort of just wadded it together and set it aside and got up and left, the servant would take that as a sign that the master was done. He had completed his meal, and the servant would then feel free to come and clear the table and clean up. But if the master did something else, if the master took the napkin and folded it, okay, took the time to fold it and set it aside, it was a sign to the servant, I'm not done yet. I'm coming back. I've been called away from the table for some reason. I've got to go take care of that reason, and I'll be back to finish up the meal. I think that's what happened when Jesus folded the napkin and put it in a separate place than the grave clothes he was wrapped in. I don't know if he took the time to fold the grave clothes or not. I think he came out of them. Perhaps they were laying exactly where he lay. But he took the time to take that napkin that was wrapped around his face, fold it, and put it in a spot different from where the rest of the grave clothes lay. So that when Peter and John came into the tomb that Sunday morning, knowing what they knew about the masters and their servants back in that day, they would see the napkin lying in a different place, and they would say, "He's not done yet. He's coming back. He's not finished. There's more to do." And so this morning, I point out three things to you that Jesus is not done yet. The napkin is still folded. He's not done. He still has work to do. He's still doing that work, and we're to be a part of that work. Number one, he's not done yet. He's still saving sinners. He said from the cross, "It is finished." And our salvation is finished. What he did on Calvary, nothing else needs to be added to it. And when he says, "It is finished," what he was saying is, "I've done everything that needs to be done. There's nothing that needs to be added. The price has been paid for your sin. If you'll receive me and believe in me, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be out under the penalty of sin. You have a home in heaven." And so he finished salvation for us on Calvary's cross. But the napkin is still folded. He's not done yet saving sinners. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I'll remind you again, God in heaven doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God in heaven does not want anybody to perish. God in heaven wants everybody to be saved. That's why he made the invitation so broad. That's why he made the invitation so wide. He made it so broad and made it so wide that it would encompass every person. And by the way, Jesus died for every person. When he hung on Calvary, he paid for the sins of every person. Whether you receive him or not, he paid for your sins. Your sin debt has been paid. But the invitation is broad. The invitation is wide so that every single person can know that God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever includes you, that whosoever includes me, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, do you ever think that's maybe why you're still alive today? Do you ever think that maybe that's why God had you attend this service this morning? You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not here by accident. You're not here by coincidence. You are here according to the divine plan of God. He put this church here, put this preacher here, put this gospel here so that you could hear that God loves you, so you could hear that he doesn't want you to go to hell, so that you could hear that Jesus died to pay for your sins. And if you receive him, he'll save you from the penalty of sin. He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll do it for you. You're a whosoever. He died for you. The napkin is still folded. He's not done saving sinners. Would you receive him this morning? Would you? Say, "Preacher, I didn't come to church this morning expecting to do anything." It doesn't matter what you came expecting to do. You came because God directed you here. I can't think of a better day than May 27, 2018. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better day or a better time for you to come to Jesus Christ than right now. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. If you're here and you don't know Christ, what are you waiting for? What's standing in your way? I'll tell you, whatever it is, it's not worth it in the eternal scheme of things. People don't come to Jesus for various reasons. And you drill down to those reasons. You drill down to what keeps them from coming. And you find those reasons in the eternal scheme of things don't mean a thing. They're listening to Satan. Just like God wants everybody to go to heaven, Satan wants everybody to go to hell. Just look, he does. He doesn't want anybody to go. He didn't want anybody to be saved. He wants everybody to go to hell with him. I've told you before, I believe that God loves me. I believe that Christ died for me, and I'm looking forward to go to heaven. But if I didn't believe any of that, I'd want to go to heaven just to spit in Satan's face. I would. I'm going for a lot of other reasons. In fact, where's Joe at? He didn't come forward for the Marines. Joe went to Hell, Michigan yesterday. He gave me a card that says, Exit Visa. Entitles the bearer safe passage through Hell, Michigan. He said, this will get you out of Hell, Michigan, but it won't get you out of hell. I said, I know, I already got something that does that. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he not going to get me out, he's going to keep me from going there in the first place. Amen? If Jesus, look, Jesus is still, he's not done yet. The napkin's still folded. He's still saving sinners. Why don't you let him save you? Why don't you let him save you? There's no excuse that's good enough to keep you away from God. There's no excuse that's good enough to keep you from coming and receiving what Jesus did for you on Calvary. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, before we leave this point, let me speak to Christians for a minute. Most of us here this morning are Christians. The napkin's still folded. God's not done. Jesus is not done saving sinners yet. Why are you? Why are you? Why have you quit? Why have you quit in telling people about Christ? Why have you quit inviting people to church? Why have you quit shedding tears for other people that don't know Christ? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Why have you quit praying for lost people? If Jesus is not done yet, why are we? Why have we quit? There's no reason why we should. We need to be out and about. We need to be telling people about Christ. Look at the napkin. It's still folded. He's not done yet. He's coming back. He's still saving sinners. Get busy. Go fishing. Tell people about Christ. The napkin is still folded. He's not done yet. He's not done saving sinners. Number two, he's not done sanctifying saints. We quote Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Wonderful verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I remind you this morning that verse 10 is just as important as verses 8 and 9. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God did not save us to set on our blessed assurance. He saved us and sanctifies us, which means he sets us apart so that we will work for him. Amen. You see, sometimes we get it backwards. We get it backwards. We think we have to work for our salvation, and then we just get saved, and then we can rest in Jesus. We get it backwards. What we need to do is rest in Jesus for our salvation and then go to work for him. That's his plan. That's what he wants us to do. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here's what we need to say. Here's my eyes, Lord. Help me to see lost sinners. Here's my feet, Lord. Help me to go to them. Here's my tongue, Lord. Help them to share how Christ saved me and how Christ will save them if they ask. That's what he wants us to do. That's why you're still here. I mentioned it in Sunday school. If God was done with you, he'd take you to heaven and get you out of this mess. But the fact that you're still here means he's got something that he wants you to do. He's put you at this place, at this particular time, for a purpose. Find out. And again, I say this and I look around the room. Otto may be one of the youngest ones here. I'm not going to guess who the oldest one here, but it doesn't matter. From Otto to whoever the oldest one's here, you're here for a purpose. God has put you here for a reason. One of those reasons, one of the big reasons he's left us here, is that we can go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's not done saving sinners. He's not done sanctifying saints. The napkin's still folded. He's coming back. Number three, he's not done submarining Satan yet. He's not done foiling the plans of Satan yet. He's not done yet. You see, when Jesus lay in the tomb, Satan thought he had won. He'd been trying to destroy the Savior his whole life, all of Jesus' life on this earth. Tried to kill him as a baby when Herod passed the decree that everybody 2 years old and younger in the area where the wise men said they saw the star would be killed. Tried to kill him as a baby. That didn't work. Tried to tempt him in the wilderness to get Jesus to not trust God and to yield to Satan's temptation. And he failed there. On other occasions, he tried to break a bone as people picked stones up to stone Jesus. And miraculously, the Bible says he just walked through the crowd because Jesus knew that if one bone in his body would be broken, that he would not qualify to be the Passover lamb. Satan tried all throughout the life of Christ on this earth, but failed. But now Jesus was dead. He lay in the tomb. And Satan said, I've got him. I've won. I've succeeded. If I can just keep him in the grave. For 3 days and three nights, the Roman guard stood sentry around that tomb. And I think Satan had his demons on guard as well. 3 days and three nights. Everything looked good from Satan's perspective. He said, I finally won. I've defeated the plan of God. Jesus is in the tomb, and he will never come out. But then Sunday morning came. An earthquake. The stone was rolled away. Some people say God had to roll the stone away for Jesus to get out. No, God rolled the stone away so we could look in and see that the tomb was empty. He walked through walls. He could walk through a rock. That didn't stop him. Stone was rolled away so that man could get in and see that God had kept his promise. See that Jesus had kept his promise. The Bible says the Romans trembled and fainted as dead men. I just wonder what the demons did. I wonder if those imps from hell ran back to their master and said, Master, you won't believe it. He's not there anymore. He's gone. His body's gone. He's raised. Amen. Satan knew that he'd lost. But he didn't give up. He hasn't given up. He hasn't given up. Satan knows that he cannot rob any of us as Christians of our salvation. But it doesn't mean he doesn't try to destroy our testimony. It doesn't mean that he doesn't try to come and get us off course. Doesn't mean he doesn't try and get us discouraged. Doesn't mean he doesn't try to come and get us to quit. He's not going to get us for hell. But he can destroy our usefulness for God. Don't let him. Don't let him. I like what Billy Sunday said about Satan, fighting Satan. He says, as long as I have strength in my fist, I'm going to pound Satan with all my might. As long as I've got strength in my feet, I'm going to stamp him for all I'm worth. As long as I got teeth in my mouth, I'm going to bite them every chance I get. And when I get old and have no strength in my fist and no strength in my feet and I lose all my teeth, I'm going to gum them for all I'm worth. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus is not done yet. The napkin's still folded. He's still foiling Satan's plans for our life. He's coming back. He told the disciples in the upper room, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will. I will. Notice what he said. I will. Not I might. Not maybe. Not perhaps. But I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The napkin is still folded. He's not done yet. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's not done saving sinners. He's not done edifying saints. He's not done submarine Satan. Let me ask you this morning, are you ready for him to come back? I believe the next thing that's going to happen is the trumpet's going to sound and we'll hear that voice, that cry, that shout from heaven, come up hither. Dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready for that to happen? What a shame, what a tragedy it would be if when the trumpet blew and the shout came, you didn't rise to meet Jesus in the air. Especially if you've been to a church like this that preaches the gospel. What a shame, what a shame to hear how much God loves you, to hear what Jesus did for you on Calvary, and to just let it pass, to not pay any attention to it, to not receive it. I beg you this morning, don't walk out of this place not knowing for sure you're on your way to heaven. The only way you can know that is to come and receive Christ as your Savior. The invitation's open for you. You're a whosoever. You can believe. You can receive. And he'll save you from all your sin. Wash that sin away. Dress you in his righteousness. Justify you in God's sight. Make you as just as if you've never sinned. Christians, we need to stay busy. Talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Keep standing. Keep standing. God has a purpose for us. We need to be about it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for making the message of salvation so clear. We're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. We either pay it ourselves and are separated from you forever, or we let Jesus pay it for us. Nothing else will work. No work, no gift, no good deed, nothing else will work. It's either we die in our sins, we're dead in our sins already, and we go to hell and spend eternity apart from you, or we come to your Son who went to a cross and took all our sins upon himself. I pray, even if there's just one person here this morning that's never received Christ, that they would see their sin, they would see the penalty that sin brings upon them, and they would see what Jesus did for them on Calvary, and they would come this morning and let us help them. Let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here this morning. Maybe some that have become discouraged. Maybe some that want to quit. Maybe some that have quit. But Father, there's no discharge in this war. You're not done with us. You still have us here. It means there's still something else you want us to do. I pray you'd help us to find it and get about doing it. Get busy doing it. Bless this time of invitation. Again, if people need to receive Christ, help them to come. If Christians need to make some holy vows this morning, help them to come. If somebody's here that needs to be baptized, help them to come. And if you've talked to somebody about joining the church, Father, I pray you'd help them to come. Help us to listen. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit directs. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.